host. Paul from Tehachapi, California, and Tony Lopez is coming to speak to us from Connecticut, so that's a big difference there. So, Tony, man, you're up. Turn on your mic and hear what you got to say.
Can you hear me? Wow, this is great. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Truth for Today. I'm done. No, I'm just kidding. it's great to see everybody. Great that everyone's here. Who attended here? The Greek class? Wasn't that awesome? That was awesome. Well, my hands to you. I was truly blessed. You know, and that's what God does. God enlightens us. So that was really, really great. I mean, I encourage everyone to really get into the original tongue. Why don't I start off with a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your living word. We thank you, Father, that we can truly live by it, grow by it, and Father, that we can just continue to learn and learn more of you through it. We thank you for that rightly divided word, that enlightenment, Father, that we all have and have received from you. How precious indeed it is. We thank you for everyone here and everyone on their way here to this conference, Father, that you can guard them. We thank you for everyone here in this conference, Father, that you can just comfort them if there are any discomforts at all. And we thank you for, again, your rightly divided word, that everyone can receive it. In the blessed name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, amen. So, how much time do I have? That's great. I'm looking forward to it. So let's open up to our conference theme in Ephesians chapter 3. So we're here to know more about the mystery. You know, on my way here, this is honest to God truth. I was here driving, and I saw what I thought, now that is a true mystery. Actually, I came across a White Castle. Don't laugh. Anyone know about White Castle? Wow, okay. White Castle. Well, I'm a sucker for White Castle. I don't like any other fast food but White Castle. And so I came across a White Castle, and I said, wow, that's a mystery. No one knew about that one. So Maria knows about that. She swore. She says this was not here last year because you would definitely have caught this. So it was definitely a secret. So here it goes, Ephesians 3, verses 5 and 6, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. And again, Mike, I'm going to endeavor to learn more of the Greek. I say that because one thing that's important, he mentioned accuracy. You know, accuracy is important. And how much I could relate to that? Yes, I sell insurance, and I have to be accurate, by the way. I'm also a musician, and I better be accurate, because if I miss or skip a beat or I'm on the wrong note, that's it. And so how much more important is it to be accurate in God's word? I think so. And so, yeah, even pronouncing it, we should all strive to be accurate about it. So, amen, Michael. Thank you. So, they say I'm one of the first speakers. Paul, that was great, by the way. And so I'm going to make sure I leave no room for any other speaker. I'm going to take it out. No, I'm just kidding. But let's start off with, and I want to start off with just a couple of words that I looked up in verse 5, which in other, word other, this is interesting. Other, that's number 2087. 2087. Heteros. I pronounced it wrong, Mike, right? Tell me. How is it pronounced?
I'd have to see it.
Oh, okay.
But you're okay.
Thank God. Heteros. The first occurrence is in Matthew 6:24. For he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. That's the first occurrence. And the prison epistles actually occurs three times. And as we know, three stands for that which is solid, real, substantial, complete, and entire. That's out of Bullinger's work in Numbers, page 107. And the three occurrences that appears here, chapter 3, verse 5, and in Philippians 2, 4, where the reference is to humility of selflessness. Let's look at that, Philippians 2, 4. Look not on every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So there again we have heteros. 2 Timothy 2:2. That's the third occurrence and the last occurrence in the prison epistles. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And it says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." So there is in connection with the deposit. And so something about Kelly was asking about the deposit earlier, right? She was talking about money there though. This is the good deposit, isn't it? The best deposit one can have. And so, and the teaching of it to others, of course. Heteros, 2087, Bullinger's Companion Bible, Appendix 124, page 160. Got all the references here for everybody. How's that? Again, that's Heteros, 2087, Bullinger's Companion Bible, Appendix 124, page 160. And his Critical Lexicon, page 560. Anybody got a lexicon of his here? Good. And it defines heteros as, quote, "another of a different kind," as opposed to allos, which is of the same kind, usually denoting a generic distinction, unquote. The total number of occurrences of heteros in the New Testament is 99 times, which Bullinger indicates in his acclaimed work titled Number in Scripture, page 235, that the number is, quote, "a most remarkable number in many respects, held in great reverence by all who study the occult sciences, and in mathematical science it possesses properties and powers which are found in no other number. For example, the sum of the digits which form its multiples are themselves always a multiple of 9. Like 2 times 9, you know it's 18. And if you take 18, 1 and 8 is 9. You can go on and on and on. So that's what he was making reference to as far as possessing properties and powers, which are found in no other number. Interesting. Associated with, quote, "the end," since it is the last of the digits and therefore significant in the conclusion of the matter. For example, the word amen occurs 99 times and suggests the summing up and ending his words. Bullinger goes on to suggest that since 9 is akin to the number 6, 6 being the sum of its factors, 3 times 3 equals 9 and 3 plus 3 equals 6, and it's thus significant of the end of man, the summation of all men's works. 9 is therefore the number of finality or judgment, for judgment is committed unto Jesus as the Son of Man. So it marks the completeness, the end and issue of all things as to man, the judgment of man and all his works. So out of this, we can therefore perhaps surmise with some level of confidence that Heteros 2087 here, in connection with ages, ages genea, which their ages is genea 1074 in Ephesians 3:5, implies a very distinct dispensational class of generation from the past, as distinct from the current and present generation, the all-encompassing totality or complete with absolutely nothing left out, and some of all, quote, generations of old from ancient times down, as Thayer says, up to the present time, then during Paul's ministry, referring to the present time, which conclusively eliminates any possibility of Mustadion truth ever being known before it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. And so you're either going to accept that and believe it, or you're going to reject it. And so, for the most part, man and religion rejects it. And so it takes an enlightenment, a revelation, if you will, for those group of believers, such as ourselves, to accept it. God knew we would. That's why we're here. So here in the Word of God, as Mike suggested, we're either going to accept the Word of God or reject it. We're told in verse Ephesians 3, in verse 5, which in other ages was not made known. And so, if it wasn't made known, again, the question is, are we going to accept that? The world, for the most part, has not. See, that's how accurate the Word of God is, but it doesn't stop there. We know it doesn't. Because down below, if we continue to read, and we see that in verse 9, repeats the same truth, to make all men, or to enlighten, as Mike would say, fortizo, all to see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid. Hid. So, there was no question as to this mystery being hid, and then subsequently being revealed. And it was hid when God would have it to be such. When it became revealed, it was only, of course, hid to those who were not initiated, if you will. And there's plenty that has been said on that. Go to Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. You know, we can all always ask, well, why wouldn't God have revealed something like that? I mean, God is God, right? Look at Deuteronomy. Going into the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 29. chapter 29, Deuteronomy, verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Secret. That's Cathar. Pronounced Sother. I was trying to be accurate there. Literally or figuratively, that's to keep close, conceal, to hide, keep secret. So the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. I know many of you have continued to read on because that's what you should do, right? So everyone read ahead of me. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Of course, truth that was truth then, particularly this truth, is one and the same. There are many truths that apply to all dispensation. And here revealing God's mind on secret is interesting, I think. So now we go back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5 again. Which in other ages, the next word that I want to look up is ages, which is that word that I mentioned before, genea, G-E-N-E-A, which again is the Greek number 1074. And the first occurrence is in Matthew 1:17, where it says, all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. It occurs four times in the prison epistles. And interestingly, that four times, that number four, signifies God's creative works. Basically, it's emphatic of the number for creation, of creation. In Ephesians 3:5, it's the first occurrence in the prison epistles. Then we go on to verse 21. Chapter 3, verse 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. That's the second occurrence. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. That's that word again, Genea 1074. Among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And then Colossians 1:26. Colossians chapter 1:26. Which we read before. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. So here the word for genera is generations. So we have these four occurrences in the prison epistles. And interestingly enough, this Greek word, genera, occurs 42 times in the New Testament. Now look that up. What's the significance of that? And according to Bullinger, in his publication Numbers, page 268, for those of you who care to look that up, 42 is a number connected with the Antichrist. An important part of his career is to last 42 months, Revelations 11:2 and 13:5. Its factors are 6 and 7. 6 times 7 equals 42. And this shows a connection between man and the Spirit of God and between Christ and the Antichrist. 42 stages of Israel's wandering mark their conflict with the will of God. 42 young men also mock the ascension of Elijah to Elisha. 2 Kings 2. Chapter 2, verse 23 and 24. Now, being a multiple of seven, it might be supposed that it would be connected with spiritual perfection, but it's a product of six times seven. And six, therefore, being the number of man and man's opposition to God. 42 becomes significant of the working out of man's opposition to God. I found that very striking as I was, researching it. But as I meditated upon it and just looked at the references, and we see many references, of course, being made here. The four occurrences in the New Testament, anyway. And even others. I thought we could better understand and appreciate and see and meditate on God's eternal purpose concerning Mussion truth. Why and when and to whom he chose to reveal, and reveal is an interesting word even as we see it, 601, to reveal it. But as we go on, for example, before I share any thoughts on that, because God's word is such that as you work on the words, it begins to unfold. And so it becomes, as many have said in the past, a living revelation as opposed to dead. And so here, for instance, we have, going back to Ephesians 3:5 for a moment, which in other ages was not. So far, share some thoughts on other. Share some thought on ages. Genea, 1074. And the next word is not. Not is number 3756. Now, not sure how to pronounce that. We, maybe? O-U is the Greek word. Companion Bible Appendix 105, number 1, which is on page 150. And it's emphatic, no not, expressing full and direct negation independently and absolutely. So, it's very emphatic. God's trying to convey a very emphatic message that what he calls hid indeed was hid until he chose to reveal it. No amount of religion or man is going to change that. And yet we know and recognize and can appreciate how man and generations have tried to change that. And how much more can we then better appreciate how God could imply in his words that, for example, associating the 42 occurrences of Genea is associated with the opposition. Now think, what has man done throughout all age? Have they not been in opposition to God's word? So we see a connection and a better understanding as we get to appreciate the meat of the word. Now let's look at going back to Ephesians chapter 3, which in other ages, Genea, was not, which is emphatic, made known. Now known is norizo, which is that number 1107. It's to make known, declare, reveal. Bullinger's Lexicon, page 437. And it occurs, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. So let's look at that. 1:9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. There he's declaring it. Whereas here in Ephesians 3:5, not only was he emphatic by the use of the word OU, 3:7-5:6, but he makes it known was not made norizo, which one chapter before he used as the very word to signify reveal. So he did not reveal this mystery. Rightfully so. Can you imagine? Well, I can't imagine. Because he knows better than I can't imagine. We can't imagine why. What would have happened had he revealed the mystery at the wrong time? He only knows. But we have to appreciate that what he did right. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 3, it's the next occurrence, where he speaks of the very revelation. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. How about chapter 6? Chapter 6, verse 19. Praying always with all prayer and supplication, all spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador. Now, Mike was talking about, importantly, very important, how the gospel, it's not one gospel. It's not. There are many gospels. The gospel of the circumcision, to name a few. The gospel of the grace of God. And so, here, to make known, key word, in the very verse that we're studying. Philippians chapter 4. I was just talking with Esther a moment ago. You know, she's sharing how, and I'm sure everyone has the same experience because you hear it over and over and again where people ask you, so where are you going? Where is it that you're heading to? Where are you going on vacation? You've heard that. And you have to explain, don't you? I'm going to a Bible conference. Really? What's that all about? How many get that here? You know, and that's great because that could obviously potentially lead us to the opportunity to share the rightly divided word. You know, and we could hear, I mean, I'm sure, thousands of stories here. Maria was sharing with me even earlier of her co-workers. And it's really interesting because I kind of wish I had come across the rightly divided word in that manner with one person. But, you know, Esther was talking about, for instance, how this person was not only inquiring, more than just receptive, was asking. Can you imagine somebody saying, do you have any information? Can you get me some information? I mean, the way I came across this one ministry, I mean, I was blessed. Bullinger's little publication, The Christian's Greatest Need. Now, who left that behind? I don't know. I found it. I saw the list of books. I communicated. I got books, got to learn more about it. You see? Now, is that God working? Does it matter who or what or when? The point is, I'm here. And so it is, I'm sure, with many of us. It works differently for different. God has his plan and his purpose. So you might not need to be the greatest in Greek, like Mike said. You know, if God can work through you, is the point, at any given point, any opportunity, well, all the more power to you. However that may happen. I have a coworker who's Greek. And it just so happens he did ask. Well, you know, I'm just going to learn about Greek. Really? Yeah. Koine Greek, do you know that? Struck up a conversation. So, where was I? Yeah, about that. Philippians 4, verse 6. I'm doing what Paul does, which I was going to share some thoughts about that. You read enough about Paul and his writings, you kind of get to talk like him. Right, Mike? That means you digress. It's good to digress, right? As long as it's rightly divided. Chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. There's that word. Declare it. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. See? Is he trying to now, can we say that he's hiding or keeping this a secret? No. To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 4:9. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Go back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men as it is now revealed. That word revealed. Number 601. Apocalypto. And it means to expose open view what was hidden before. To expose open view what was, I said that backwards, before hidden. To reveal, make manifest. That's out of Bullinger's Lexicon, page 644. To unveil so as to be visible to the eye. That's the Companion Bible, appendix 10619. Appendix 10619. Lay open what has been veiled. That's Stairs Lexicon. Mike was indicating the importance of, as students of God's Word, utilizing the tools that are available in this age that we're in right now. Never before have we had all these tools that we have now. They're available to us. Whether it's the lexicon, whether it's the interlinear, and so we should strive to use these tools. And so here we have Lay open what has been veiled. There's lexicon. For those who have that, that's page 62. And the next occurrence in the prison epistles, it only occurs twice. It's in Philippians 3:15. Let's look at that. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And so those are the only two occurrences of their reveal, though we do have other roots associated with that word. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 3. Because I just gave you obviously of some words. Don't ever tell Mike, just words. Where did I hear that before? No. But they're important. Words are very important, as is the structure and the overall understanding of what came before these two verses that are the theme of our conference. And so, beginning chapter 2, if you look at what this was all about, this verse is in fact a parenthesis. How many of you know that? So, we have to understand that coming out of chapter 2, we were told who we were. Who were we as Gentiles? Well, a quick look at that would take us right into verse 12. We were called uncircumcision in verse 11 by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. And 12, that at that time you were without Christ. Can you imagine? Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Don't let anyone ever tell you that covenant theology is where it's at. Or that we must know, as believers, our covenants. That just doesn't jive. Because it tells us right here. We were strangers from the covenants of promise. Never had access to it. And so we got to be accurate, as Mike would say, on what this word of God tells us of what who we were. And just as important of who we are in Christ today. Having no hope. We had no hope. Without God in the world. Of course, if we would have stayed there, we would have been quite depressed. Quite emphatic on the next verse. But now, there's the contrast. But now, in Christ Jesus, not in yourselves, not in what you did or didn't do, not in what we accomplished or didn't accomplish, not in what degree you have or don't have. Not in where you came from. Not in your background. It's who you are in Christ. And so, coming from there, we go on in chapter 3, verse 1. This is exactly where Paul digresses. And here we have the parentheses. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. And here's a digression verse 2. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. And here's another side thought. As I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. And then he goes back, which in other ages. So we need to understand how Paul is doing what? Some say he's doing what? He's babbling. But he's not. Why? Because the word of God says men of God were inspired when they wrote, right? So we better believe that he was inspired. Now we either, again, accept that truth or don't. But it's for us to understand what God is trying to convey here. And so, in understanding the structure and what's going on, let us be careful to understand the digression that occurs here. So there's a digression from verse 2 all the way down to 13. But even within that section, we have two mysteries being spoken about. Which is another issue. There are many mysteries, just like there are many gospels. And we need to rightly divide and understand one mystery from another. And that takes care and that takes time. One is the mystery of Christ and the other one is the mystery of the church. So the mystery of Christ we know goes back to Genesis 3:15 as it was being slowly but surely unraveled. And it itself was very multifaceted. But when he's talking about here the mystery of the church in verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, you could continue to read on in verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men as it is now. Now that's important because many of churches and religions would have us to believe that the Gentiles are one and the same then as they are now. And we know that cannot be true. Or else, we're calling God a liar. It wasn't revealed before. And so, it behooves us to not only understand God's word and compare things that differ, to be diligent in accurately rightly dividing his word, to understand it enough that you can share it with someone. How can you possibly share anything if you're not too certain about one thing? Now, that's not to say that I'm sure about everything there is in God's word. But those things that I know well, as you should do. And so, that's not to say that everyone here knows everything. No one here knows God's word 100%, do they? Because there's a lot of room to grow and learn. And we're going to know everything, not while we're here on earth. We're going to know everything at his appearing. But while we're here, that's a lot of fun. What else would we rather do, Mike, than the word? I can't imagine. So, even Paul, verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, and Paul could say that, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? Unsearchable. Anybody know the Greek word to that one? It's untraceable. Apocrypto. Apocrypto is the word there. And so I think it's great that God's word is so deep and Of course, much of the world doesn't understand it. Religion certainly doesn't get it. Churchgoers don't get it. And don't get me wrong, that's not knocking them down. Let's face it, we were all there at one point where we just didn't know. And that goes back to Mike's suggestion. You know, we could be high-minded with this Word of God. It's easy to be high-minded. Much harder to be humble. And what does God look for? He looks for humble. And so that is what is going to manifest the glory that is in us. The hope of glory, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so we need to prayerfully meditate, even as we learn, even as we share, that we don't come across high-minded to those, because we were there. It's easy to do that. And yet, at the same time, we don't compromise on the truth, period. I don't compromise with the truth. And I'm not afraid to share it either. We were at dinner, right, Maria, with a couple? And won't say their names, because I understand this might be out there. And of course, the question came up again. So where are you guys going? Oh, we're going to Bible conference. Oh, really? What's that all about? Well, of course. And, you know, it's simple enough that I have to share my strong convictions on it. It's about the rightly divided word of God, which much of religion does not understand. I didn't say it that way, of course. But I have strong convictions about it, enough that I will share that. And I did. And I obviously was very emphatic about how I felt. Oh, this is a great thing. Many people don't understand the Word of God. They know church, they know religion, but they don't understand the Word of God. So we get together once a year, like-minded believers, to share the Word of God. And as God says, as iron sharpeneth iron, it rubs off, right? And we get enthused and we get inspired. I certainly was. Who wasn't with Mike? I mean, I was. And so that's how we all, you know, the fellowship that we have, it's true and real. Wouldn't it be nice that we could spend eternity like that? Well, we will. Can you imagine? Not having to say, hey, we don't have to say bye to you. But we're going to spend, well, we will. That's the reality of it. And so, just to think that, you know, this world doesn't understand that and doesn't get that. We have something real big, dear, and special to our hearts. And that's why God has what he has here. And so I want to thank everyone. And definitely going to have a lot of fun throughout the weekend. I'm looking forward to all the speakers. And praise God. Close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Father, for this great weekend that we can all truly learn from each other. Father, that your rightly divided word can just permeate our very souls. So we thank you, Father, for this and for a great night's sleep tonight. In the blessed name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, amen.